Let me be the first of many to greet you a blessed Christmas. My name is Daniel. I'm part of the pastoral team, and I work with the Boys and Girls Brigade in ARPC. So the Boys Brigade has a Share a Gift program some of you might be aware of. During the Christmas season, the BB Boys, together with the members of the public, will collect food, supplies, and gifts and deliver them to the beneficiaries to bring cheer and relief to the less fortunate among us. Every time when we deliver the goodie bags to the beneficiaries, we are not doing a DHL service. We will prompt the BB Boys to ask the Akong and the Ama if they need help in clearing the unwanted bulky items or to clean the hard-to-reach places in their house. Some of the boys might even help to change the light bulb. Behind every closed door, a surprise awaits. When we do our deliveries, we only have the names of the beneficiaries, many whom we are meeting for the very first time. Once during a delivery with ARPC volunteers, I had to wait a long time outside the door. 5 minutes passed, then 10 minutes. But there was no response. Guess what? A neighbor came out to inform us that the person that we are trying to reach was blind. He will only open the door if he hears his neighbor's voice. Seeing that we have come to deliver the gifts, the man called out to his neighbor, and the door opened immediately. What stood before us was a blind man, clothed in only sarong. But what surprises the BB Boys was not the blind man. It was the empty and barren house, with cemented floor and only a mattress in the living room. In the usual manner, we handed him the goodie bags, which is around $60 worth of daily items, to the blind man, and wished him Blessed Christmas. The blind man turned around and asked me if I was a Christian. And my reply was, of course, a yes. But instead of saying thank you, as you would normally expect when one receives a gift, he rejected the goodie bag. He said, "I don't want anything from a Christian. I don't want anything from Jesus. I don't want anything to do with Jesus." This certainly caught me by surprise. In my 15 years serving in the Boys Brigade, I have not seen anyone reject a goodie bag. The blind man has rejected the gift he needed badly. Milo, crackers, canned food, but those were not all that he has rejected. Somehow we knew that Jesus is the reason for Christmas. And when he rejected the gifts which we had brought, this blind man rejected Jesus, the gift from God. So as we look in Romans 5, verse 15 to 17, it says, "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died for the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came from the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" In Romans 5, verses 15 to 17, Jesus is called a gift 5 times, as you can see that I actually bolded. Adam was the first man created by God, We know that from the book of Genesis, by his one act of rebellion in the Garden of Eden, Adam brought ruin and devastation upon the entire human race. As a result, we must all die because of Adam's sin. Adam's sin is the cause of all our deaths. And because of our sin, we are made enemies with God, our holy God. But God did not leave us in the darkness, in a helpless state. He has a plan for us. We learn of God's plan from Paul's letter to the Romans. God's message is not only to the Romans, but for all of us. There's a story of a pastor, you know, as he does a hospital visit, the pastor saw that Bill's hospital bed was surrounded by many well-wishers. And when he looked at Bill, Bill didn't look too good. Suddenly, Bill motioned frantically to the pastor for something to write on. The pastor lovingly handed him a pen and a paper. Bill used his last bit of energy to scribble a note, and then he died. The pastor thought it's best not to look at the note right away, so he placed the note in his jacket pocket. At Bill's funeral, as the pastor was finishing his eulogy, he realized that he was wearing the same jacket when Bill died. Bill handed me a note just before he died. And he said, "I haven't looked at it, but knowing Bill, I'm pretty sure that it's a word of inspiration in it for all of us." So, opening the note, he reads out aloud, "Help, you're standing on my oxygen hose." The message intended for one, but not for all. But God's message is for us all. In Paul's letter to the Romans, it is important to note that the first four chapters explains how a person is justified by faith, how a person is made right before God by faith. Then in Romans 5, Paul tells us what justification by faith for and for all of us, for you and me, brings us. Jesus has come to bring us gifts we need badly. There are three gifts that I'd like to share with everyone today. The first gift is the gift of peace. In Romans 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are justified by faith. And in verses 1 and 2, it reads, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Before we are justified by faith, we are at war with God. But having been justified by faith, we are now at peace with God. Peace with God is not the same as peace of God. Peace with God is a permanent change of our relationship with God. And it is an object, is objective, and never changes. Peace of God is subjective and variable, depending upon how we react to certain situations. Take, for example, when two countries are at peace with each other, say, between Singapore and Malaysia, we enjoy good diplomatic ties, good diplomatic relationships. We are friendly with each other. There are no issues with mutual political visits. But when two countries are hostile with each other, say, between North Korea and South Korea, the nations are constantly on their toes. The tension, distrust, and fear has literally ripped the countries and their people apart. North and South Korea are not at peace with each other. Peace with God is the status of our relationship with God. When we are at peace with Him, we have access to Him by faith. We can pray in Jesus' name. Without Jesus, we cannot have the access. We cannot pray to God. When we are not at peace with God, we cannot have a relationship with God. We are not at talking terms with God. There is fear in God's judgment. So when Paul wrote the letter, he was responding to an objection from a Jew. A Jew was taught to be right with God based on works of the law. To a Jew, salvation was dependent on human goodness and self-effort. It was the understanding of a Jew that Paul's justification by faith was indeed God's big surprise for him. We are made right with God by grace, not by works. Justification by faith is never a result of what we do to God. It is a result of God's declaration of peace with us. As we look in Romans verse 1, we see that we are justified by faith. And in verse 9, we can see that we are justified by His blood. We can see certain similarities in verses 1 and 9. And in 9, it states that we are justified by His blood. The blood of Jesus that indicated His sacrificial death for us. Paul here reminds us that our faith is not the instrument that allows us to be right with God. We are only saved by Christ. That is, by His blood. It was His blood that made us holy. In other words, by His death, Jesus has made us right with God. Jesus has brought us about peace between God and us. From a Bible commentary, Paul Barnett puts it in this way. He says that faith is merely a hand of a moral beggar receiving this gift from the hand of God. We need to have faith to reach out our hand and trust God. Indeed, our faith is the right response to God's grace, as we can see in verse 2. The word grace and the word gift are used interchangeably. Paul uses the word grace and gift about 20 times in this chapter. Every good thing about life is a gift from God, and it's God's grace to you. In verses 10 and 11, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Because God has declared us to be right with Him, we have peace with Him. We have been reconciled to God. Prior to God's justification, all of us, we were His enemies in verse 10. And a state of war exists between us and God. If God treats us that good while we were still His enemies, just think how He would treat us when we are His friends. God's gift of Christ Jesus declares peace between God and man. Are you enjoying the peace with God? Our second gift is a gift of suffering. The world we live in is a world that wants to avoid suffering. Students study hard because they hope to find a high-paying job and most importantly, an easy job. Some soldiers will go to the extent of visiting a specialist so that they can avoid tough training. Most households wish to employ helpers so that there will be additional person to ease them of domestic work, or even take care of their parents and children. People aim to work hard and retire early as possible to lessen lives suffering. But we should not despise suffering. In fact, we should embrace suffering, because we will receive the gift of joy in the midst of suffering. I thank God for allowing me to witness the hope in Christ Jesus being displayed through the life of my mother-in-law. For 34 years of her life, Madam Oi, which is the woman in red, bore the brunt of her husband's frequent outbursts. Anger often escalated into unrestrained rage. And even though her husband has not abused her physically, he had frequently rained down verbal abuses on her. For many years, she was trapped in an unhappy marriage. For many years, husband and wife lived in hostility under the same roof. Quietly, Madam Oi harbored bitterness in her heart. In the turn of events, my mother-in-law came to know the Lord in 2005. As a young Christian, she eagerly learned the word, savoring every word that comes from the Lord. God's love gradually moved her to pray for her husband to come to know the Lord. But my father-in-law's heart was hardened. Often, in order to aggravate her, he would curse God before her. The perspective of seeing the salvation of her husband was bleak. So in Romans 5:3-4, "But we rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope." She did not lose hope. In fact, these verses are the verses that encouraged her while she was disheartened. So in 2010, when my father-in-law suffered a major stroke, 2 days before he passed on, he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. Looking back, God's love had replaced the bitterness in her heart. It was this love that moved her husband in wanting to experience God's love in his life. Under God's grace, will change the way you interpret things that happen in your life. Instead of despising suffering, one will embrace suffering. Notice how Apostle Paul says he responds to the tribulation of his life. Apostle Paul knew that all things work together for good to those who love God and is called according to his purpose. Won't it be good if we have this belief when we face the different things life throws at us? If we were to face life without God's love and grace for us, it would be living each day knowing that we are one step nearer to death, and we could do nothing about our sin except to be depressed by it. Thankfully, God did not leave us with no solution. In Romans 5:5, God poured out his love. His love was poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has given to all who believe in him. God promises to give us the Holy Spirit, who functions as a fruit producer in our lives. When he dwells in us, he begins the work of harvesting his fruit in our lives. Fruits like love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As in Galatians 5:22-23. These are not works of our flesh, which is incapable of producing such fruits. They are products of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. My mother-in-law was recently diagnosed with stage 3 cancer of the uterus. When the news first reached her, she was shocked, saddened, and fearful of what's to come. She bargained and pleaded with God to add more years to her life. It was a difficult period of time for her and us. We are thankful for the many Christians, brothers, sisters, who rallied around her, supporting her in prayer. In May this year, she underwent a major surgery to remove her womb, followed by a 5-month intensive treatment with chemo and radiation therapy. She lost all her hair, her body was constantly aching, and she had severe bouts of diarrhea. It was a major adjustment for her in terms of her daily routine, diet, and lifestyle. Yet in the midst of her trial, God gave her strength to endure the side effects of the cancer treatment. Her prayers gradually turned from fear to acceptance and assurance of her future in Christ Jesus. 主的恩典够我用, literally translated as God's grace is sufficient for me, is now her favorite verse from the Bible. Indeed, we thank God for the Spirit that is now bearing fruits in her life. The Holy Spirit produces joy and patience. Joy is not the absence of suffering. Patience is not the absence of unpredictability. In Genesis 1, the Bible speaks of God's love to His creation. In verse 27, so God created mankind in His own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, He created them. What if God didn't create us in His image and we're all in the same level as animals? What would that tell us about God and His desire for a relationship with us? In Matthew 5:45, God causes His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The third gift is the gift of God's love. As we see in verse 8, but God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is an old saying that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Love has to give. Maybe not physical gifts, not only physical gifts. It might be your precious time, or even words of encouragement, but love has to give. God didn't wait for us to clean up the mess in our lives, to straighten ourselves out, or even invite Him into our hearts. In verse 6, it says, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. It was a rare thing for someone to die for someone else. And when we do so, and when they do, it is a remarkable thing. It might be that for someone who is dear to you, you will step between them and death if you could. But there's a short list of people, at most my wife or my kids, but God died for the ungodly. His act of love is far greater than us. Many have stepped up in patriotism and gone to their deaths for their country and die for a way of life that they love. And that's remarkable. We certainly owe a debt of gratitude to those who serve their country and put themselves in harm's way to preserve the freedom we enjoy. But what Jesus did goes beyond remarkable. It is amazing. He died for his enemies. He died for us. When we didn't love him, when we were at war with him, he accepts us for who we are. Jesus didn't wait for us to reach the perfect state. He accepts us just the way we are. I read about a man who was selling an old warehouse. The building has been empty for months and needed lots of repairs. The doors damaged, the windows smashed, and trash thrown everywhere. As he showed a prospective buyer that property, he took pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, bring in a renovation company to correct any structural damage, and clean out the trash. The unusual buyer smiled and said, "Forget about the repairs. When I buy this place, I am building something completely different. I don't want the building. I want the site." God doesn't want the building we made of our lives. He wants the site. He doesn't want our cleverly constructed plans for our lives. He wants our heart. The day we became Christians, God starts from scratch, from ground up. This is how much God loves us. He loves us just the way we are. He sends his Son to die for us and loves us just the way we are. We have much to celebrate and be thankful for every Christmas. From now on, Christmas should remind us of these three gifts. God's gift of Christ Jesus declaring peace between God and man. And the second gift is God's gift of Christ Jesus' victory in the midst of our suffering. Third gift, God's gift of Christ Jesus magnifying God's love. If you could still recall how the blind man responded by closing his door and not wanting to accept the good gift. If someone were to knock at your door and offer you gifts that you badly needed, would you reject them like the blind man? God offers you the gift of his Son, who is the real reason for the season, because you badly needed God's love, peace with God, joy in the midst of suffering, and the difficulties in your life. Do not be like the blind man. Let's pray. Our loving Father, thank you for your grace showered upon us. May you lead our hearts to respond to your message by faith in Christ Jesus. Thank you for loving us even when we don't deserve it. We ask that you help us to embrace suffering with a joyful heart, being assured of the hope in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross so that we can enjoy this peace with God. And commit all things in prayer through Jesus' name. Amen.